They say that nothing is forever. Everything has to come to an end. But what if that's not true? What if there are some things that are forever? How does that change our perspective on life here and now? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome to the program today as we take a look at the eternal God from a different perspective. And do stick with me, because very soon I'll be telling you about my latest life application booklet. It's called Having the Sort of Faith That Conquers the World. And I'd love to send you a free copy to help you live a life of faith that truly makes a powerful difference in this world. But this is the very last week it'll be available, so don't miss out. You know, as I look back on my life, there was a very important constant right from my earliest memories. It was my dad, my father. I used to call him Papa since we grew up in a German-speaking home. Now, my dad, he wasn't perfect. Just as you're not perfect and I'm not perfect, we all have our strengths and our weaknesses. It's a package deal, right? Well, my dad was no different. He passed away quite a long time ago now, but in a sense, he still remains a constant in my life. In fact, perhaps even more so now that I'm in my 50s, this is perhaps the time, more than any other time in my life, that I'd value the opportunity to get to know him better. Of course, it's not possible. But in a very real sense, I know that I'm very much like him and that I get to carry on his name in this world. Having a dad, albeit that our dads are never perfect, is like having a bedrock beneath your feet. It's something that never, ever goes away. Funny how we're programmed like that, but my hunch is that most people would know what I'm talking about here. Who we are, our family, our parents, our grandparents, there's something comforting about that. And I suspect that this sense of constancy and place and meaning to do with our parents, in particular with our fathers, I suspect that comes from God. These days, in many parts of the world, the sense of community and family has broken down. Let me give you an example. We live in a 19th century terrace house or row house. You know, they were built in rows, each one butting right up next to the next one. We've met our neighbours on both sides, but everybody lives busy lives. Our back fences are 11-foot brick walls, so we never see much of one another. The couple to one side had a baby about 18 months ago. We've never seen the baby. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? But it's the way that society's headed. The more affluent a society becomes, the more disconnected we seem to become from one another. Of course, there are parts of the world where that's just not the case. The Philippines. Now, there's a country where the sense of community and connectedness is a profound part of the psyche. Go to places in Africa and parts of Asia, you'll find the same thing. But in many of those places, poverty's an issue, political instability, even wars, natural disasters. And you know what I've noticed? At those times we're going through difficult things, we feel incredibly disconnected from other people, isolated, even though we may well have people, families, community around us. Again, I guess the point that I'm trying to make, is that with all that life throws at us, one of the things that we need, I mean really need, is a safe anchor point, something or someone who's constant, who never fails, who's always there, who's absolutely rock solid. Last week, and again this week on the program, we're looking at some of the names used for God throughout his word, the Bible. There are over 20 of them, and we'll only be going through 10, exploring them, because through them God is in the business of telling us who he is. The different names given to him in the Bible, if we'll spend some time and unpack them a little bit, they reveal the nature of God to us. And I, for one, I want to discover him and know him more and more, deeper and deeper. Today, we're going to have a look at the name Jehovah, which comes from the original Hebrew word Yahweh. And this name quite simply means I am, or perhaps I am who I am. One of the places it's used is when Moses is being told by God to go to Pharaoh in Egypt and tell Pharaoh, let God's people go. Scary. Pharaoh had the power of life and death over people. And so Moses came up with a series of excuses to kind of explain to God why God should really pick someone else for this job. I love the fact that Moses was so human. He was scared. And why wouldn't he be? I would be, you would be. Have a listen to this little conversation between God and Moses. It starts in Exodus chapter 3, beginning verse 9. "The cry of the Israelites has now come to me," said God. "I have also seen how the Egyptians oppressed them. So, come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He said, "I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought your people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and I say to them, 'The God of our ancestors has sent me,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" There it is. Tell them, "I am who I am has sent you." Sounds kind of weird when you read it the first few times. I am who I am. It's the name Yahweh, transliterated into the English language Jehovah. A name so holy that the Israelites wouldn't utter it. They wouldn't let it pass their lips. So let me ask you something. What's God trying to say to Moses here? What's God trying to say to the Israelites here? What's God trying to say to you and to me here through this I am who I am? Well, it's a name that speaks of the constancy of God. God just is. Everything else around us changes, falls apart, fails us, dies, gets sick, but not God. He is who he is. From everlasting to everlasting, he never changes. His promises never fail. When we fail him, he never fails us. Have a listen to how the psalmist put it. Psalm 90, verse 2. "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." Doesn't matter what's going on, God always was, he is, and he always will be. He's like the bedrock beneath our feet, rock solid, full of promise, full of future. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21, "Give thanks to the Lord, to Yahweh, to Jehovah, for his steadfast love endures forever." I wonder whether there aren't more than a few of us who need to hear this message today. God is who he is. He always has been, he always will be, and what's going on around us, our circumstances, however confronting, however disappointing, however impossible they may appear from time to time, our circumstances never change the fact that God is who he is, faithful, steadfast in his love, the Lord over the whole universe. Can I tell you something? I face challenges and disappointments in my life just the way you do. We all do. And anybody who says any different is kidding themselves. And I know, just as you know, how easy it is to do a Moses. You know, go to God and say, "But God, you don't understand. Look how hard this is. How am I possibly going to get through this? Go and send someone else." And into that sense of inadequacy in the face of what we're confronting, into that sense of being this little cork bobbing up and down in some dark and dangerous and angry ocean of life, God would speak these profound words, these powerfully encouraging words, into your heart and mine. "I am who I am, and my steadfast love for you endures forever." Life throws all sorts of things at us, things that we never expected. And it's in those moments that we really need to live by faith, the sort of faith that has us leaning into God in the tough times. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of my latest booklet, Having the Sort of Faith That Conquers the World. Because God's word is alive and active, amen? So I'm praying that he'll grow your faith in him through this booklet. You can request your free copy right now at ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Just click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be on its way to your inbox in just seconds. But this is the very last week that this particular booklet will be available, so don't miss out. That web address again is ChristianityWorks.com. Hey, thank you so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time tomorrow with a different perspective.